family members get forgiven, and great family members forgive themselves. I've already been asked by several students this morning if I'm going to have anything tweetable. And so hopefully that there are several things that you can pull out of God's Word and you can be able to tweet or write down on the back of your worship guide. Okay? At some point, but I just ask you to sit down, buckle up, and hang on because we're going to dive through this. I had a clip that we were going to show you that unfortunately wasn't able to work this morning, and it was a clip from Shrek. And great time where Shrek and Donkey are just at odds with one another. And Donkey is just wanting Shrek to understand and get this. And Shrek comes to him and he says, yeah, okay, whatever, Donkey, I forgive you. And he goes, forgive you for stabbing me in the back. And then he goes on and they talk a little bit more. And then finally, the light bulb comes on for Shrek. He begins to realize, I get it now. I do ask your forgiveness, Donkey. Will you forgive me? And Donkey says, well, sure, that's what friends do. And they forgive each other and they go on and the movie continues. But I wonder how many of us can relate to that. Because sometimes we're like, we want our family members just to understand where we're at. But then sometimes we're a lot like Shrek, where we say, I'm sorry, or we ask for forgiveness, but it's just kind of a just because type of forgiveness. And Shrek realized that a heartfelt forgiveness was necessary in order to restore that relationship. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. I was reading an article just this past week in a magazine. Don't be surprised, youth pastors do read sometimes. And this article listed the top 10 factors for Americans that lead to an unbalanced life. And one of the top factors was practicing forgiveness. And it said that the energy that it takes to hold a grudge is one of the most draining emotional factors in Americans' lives today. That hit me hard. And then I read another journal in the Association of Psychological Science. I have a psychology background, and that's kind of where I come from, so I relate well to that. And it said that 9 out of 10 Americans pray, at least on occasion. But this study wasn't just about prayer, it was about prayer and forgiveness. And the results showed that those who prayed for their spouse just once harbored fewer vengeful thoughts and emotions. And they were ready to move on and forgive. And I got to thinking, wow, if one single prayer in that study could make such a striking difference, what could prayer over a period of time do with a relationship? Wow. Think about that in your own marriage. I have a confession to make, actually. Just this past weekend, I was pretty angry. As my family would say, I was spitting mad. I was mad that someone would come over to our church property and destroy it in such a malicious way that they did. I was angry. I was ready to go get a rope and find somebody. I'll just be honest with you, be transparent a minute. But God, it stopped me in my tracks Saturday night. And last Saturday, I began to pray. And I began to pray for those that were involved in those malicious acts, intentionally and individually. And I prayed that God would begin to work in their lives. And immediately, my demeanor changed. I began to have a burden for those students that ransacked that house next door. Because prayer changes your heart. And as we're about to see, it's a matter of the heart. In fact, the word forgiveness actually means pardon. Some of you in the judicial system, some of you in law enforcement, you can understand this. A pardon. A pardon means to completely set free or release. Completely. It's to completely release. And forgiveness is the same thing as a pardon. I'll be honest, it's hard for me sometimes when I feel like I've been wronged to give forgiveness. It's hard for me sometimes when I feel like the other person's the one that should be asking. My wonderful bride, you know, if she does something that I feel that wrongs me, my first reaction truly is to say, stop and go, oh, honey, it's okay. I forgive you. Actually, no, that's not true. That's a lot of times not my first response. I get there. But at first, it's like, no, I want justice. I want to see some justice done. And as I counsel families all the time, I hear, Pastor Stacy, you don't know what my husband did to me. You don't know what my wife did to me. You don't know what my son or my daughter has done to us. You don't know what my parents did to me. You mean you want me to forgive them? Well, according to God's word, it doesn't matter what I think. It's a matter of whether or not God wants you to forgive them or not. And that's what we're going to dive into this morning. The issue is what God says. We're going to look in Matthew 18. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there. If you are using an app on your phone, and it happens to be the Bible app that's YouVersion, you can actually go to Live Event on YouVersion and find the message notes and the scripture all right there, tidy, ready for you to go. So if that's something that you use on your phone, on YouVersion. But Matthew 18, we're going to start in verse 21. This is a great picture, so I want you to, again, buckle up for this ride. This is great. God's word is awesome. In verse 21, then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "How many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? 7 times? Jesus answered, "I'll tell you, not 7 times, but 77 times. Or some translations say 7 times 7. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children, all that he had, be sold to repay the debt. And the servant fell to his knees before him and said, 'Be patient with me.' He begged, 'I'll pay back everything.' He took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when the servant went out and found his fellow servant, who owed him a few hundred denarii, he grabbed him and began to choke him. 'Pay back what you owe me,' he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged, 'Be patient with me, I will pay you back.' But he refused. Instead, he went off and he had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. Now, when the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed. Their master, everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in, 'You wicked servant, I canceled all your debts because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have the same mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?' And in anger, his master turned him over to the jailer to be tortured until he should pay back all that he owed. This is how your heavenly Father will treat you unless you forgive your brother from your heart." Man, what a unique picture of forgiveness. Let me help you try to understand this just a little bit. This is an intimate setting here. Jesus is not preaching to the crowds. He's not going and telling the multitudes. He's sitting around with the disciples and they're asking him questions. And Jesus begins telling these stories. Now Peter, who we know is usually the first person to open his mouth, right? He goes to Jesus and he says, "Okay, God, Jesus, how many times, if somebody sins against me, do I need to forgive them? 7 times? Which Peter's probably thinking, in that Jewish culture at the time, that was an acceptable number. 7 was kind of the number that just, okay, 7 was it. So he's thinking, that's, my gut says Peter was going, "Watch this, guys. I'm going to get a yes on this one. How many times, Jesus? 7? But that's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, "Hardly. Good guess, Peter. Good try. But not 7, but 7 times 7, or 77, which actually means an unlimited number of times, no matter how much. Now, does this mean that when your wife does something wrong that you should forgive her? Does this mean that when your son continues to do those things that hurt you and are disobedient, you should forgive him? Does this mean that when your parents do things that are hurtful, that they should forget, you should forgive them? I think just based on this passage, you already know the answer to that question. But Jesus didn't stop there with that one sentence. He went on to share the parable of the unmerciful servant. Now, for many of you who are from Texas, this is a parable, not a pair of bulls. A parable is a story that illustrates a point, not 2 male cattle in a field. Okay, just want to make sure we get that clear before we move forward. The key point to this is that it's simply an issue of the servant's heart. And so many times we're like that unmerciful servant. We're not willing really to forgive people, even in our own family. And I want us quickly to look at 3 things based on this passage that just really jump out. And then we're going to focus on those three practical steps based on the 3 tenets we said just a moment ago. The first thing, if you're taking notes, that we see is that forgiveness is expected. It's expected 70 times. 7. Jesus answered Peter saying, "You should forgive an unlimited number of times." He expected it. Forgiveness is not optional. Oftentimes we say, "Yeah, I'm going to forgive you as soon as you ask," or "I'm going to forgive you. It's going to take me a few days. It's going to take me a few months, a few years, or I'll think about it." Jesus says, no, it's not optional. Stop looking for excuses and realize forgiveness is expected to forgive others. The second thing is this: forgiveness is unconditional, no matter how much the debt. In this parable, you have 2 measures of debt. One equivalent today would be a few dollars, and the other would be close to $1 million. Two drastic numbers. And both debts were expected to be treated exactly the same, unconditional. No matter what the other guy says or the other guy does or doesn't do or doesn't say, God expects us to unconditionally forgive them. Not just when they ask, not just when they're remorseful, unconditional. No matter how much you've been wronged. And so we look at understanding forgiveness is expected and forgiveness is unconditional. Those are pretty standard things. I can get my mind around those pretty well. But this last one is a little bit more impact specifically to our lives. And that's forgiveness is relational. It can hinder a relationship or help a relationship. In the story, there were two relationships I believe that were hindered as a in relation to his unforgiving heart. The king's servant owed this large amount of money, and he went out, and as soon as he couldn't forgive his fellow servant, the fellow other servants were watching. They were watching. It says they were greatly distressed, is what verse 31 says. Meaning they were upset in the way that how he treated the other servant. How we treat others and whether or not we choose to forgive somebody not only affects us, it affects those around us. It hinders our relationships, even those we think sometimes aren't involved. The unforgiveness in your family can affect the person sitting next to you right now. It can affect your church family. It can affect your coworkers. It can affect your neighbors. And it especially affects the rest of your family. How is your unforgiveness affecting your family? And the second thing that we look at, and this is relational, is the servant's action resulted in a broken relationship with his king. The relationship with the servant must have been a good one because he took pity on him and he canceled the debt. But because of his lack of forgiveness, the Bible says he became angered and it broke the relationship with his king. When we choose, and it's a choice, when we choose not to forgive someone, it affects our relationship with our king, with God. And in addition, not forgiving has consequences. The king was angered and had him tortured. And we choose not to forgive sometimes, there are consequences that God allows us to go through. And they hurt sometimes. I know this is not one of those sermons you're just going to get a lot of amens and get excited and happy over. This is tough. I've wrestled with this all for several weeks now. This is not easy stuff. But this has to happen in order for strong families to take place in Queen Creek. You can amen that. What I want you to understand ultimately is that forgiveness is not a mental state of being. It's an issue of the heart. It's not a head issue. It's a heart issue. It's a heart cry, if you will. The last part of verse 35 was the phrase, from our hearts. How many times have you said, yeah, I forgive you, but in reality, it still just eats away at your heart. God is telling us to forgive and truly forget it, to pardon, to completely. It's a heart pardon. And if it's not a heart pardon, it's not true forgiveness as God intended. Now, I say, I know forgiveness is not easy, okay, but it's a part of our lives. We have all been hurt. We all ache. We have all been wronged in some way by someone. And yet God says it's expected, it's unconditional, and it's relational. The idea of to save a family that we've been talking about these past few weeks and the weeks that we're moving into really springboard off of the movie To Save Life. And if you've seen that movie, or you've been involved in our small groups, plugged into a To Save a Family small group during the week. Every character in some capacity requires forgiveness in that movie. Think about it. Jake's dad cheats on his mom. That's going to require some forgiveness. Jake ignores his friend Roger when he needs him the most. That's going to require some forgiveness. Roger's mother doesn't even notice the pain of her own son, a pain so deep that he takes his own life. That's certainly going to require some forgiveness. And if you're a part of these groups that are happening during the week, and in about 2 or 3 weeks, you're going to be looking at some clips from that movie and talking about this a little bit more intimately. But one thing I want to focus on from that is about Jake and his dad. See, few sins are harder to forgive than the sin of unfaithfulness. This breaks a trust and the soul of another. And it's so painful that it's actually one of the only conditions that the Bible gives us that's available for divorce. Now, I want you to understand that God allowed for divorce if you look at Matthew 19. I didn't say God desired that. God can heal and restore a relationship. I don't care where you're at in relationships this morning. I promise you, God can heal and restore. I believe the center of God is healing and restoration. And there are people this morning that are dealing with similar stuff. I know. And then you think back to Jake. Can a son forgive his own dad? Or is he going to take this life and have a life that harbors bitterness and anger and resentment for the next 20, 30, 40 years? And even if he tries to forgive, how does he go about it? How does someone find the compassion and the motivation to forgive somebody? Again, I know that there are people dealing with this morning. A group this size, there's somebody dealing with it. I know it hurts. I know it's painful. I know that it is gut-wrenching. And when a deep hurt hits a family member, even a strong family member, sometimes they have to step back for a minute. And that initial shock is in their system. And that shock leads to betrayal. And that betrayal all of a sudden turns into anger that begins to well up in you. And then you get past that anger to a state of denial. And after denial becomes bargaining. You begin bargaining with God. And then finally, eventually, there is acceptance. And as these phrases of emotion begin to just step through, you see a picture of forgiveness. And so those three tenets. The first one is great family members forgive. So how does a family member forgive? How does a family member forgive? They have to find motivation for it. You can turn to Colossians 3 real quick if you'd like. It's a great scripture. In Colossians 3:13, if you don't have it, you can just listen. That's okay too. But Colossians 3:13 says this: bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord also forgave you. Now, this is not easy sometimes, but you have to process through this. All right? You have to say to yourself, I don't want to give Satan a foothold in my life. I want peace in my life. I don't want bitterness. I'm not perfect. Christ forgave me, and I'm going to take the same action. You have to find the motivation that comes from Christ. You're not just going to find it by some help. Self-help guru who tells you on the radio that's how you find it. You're not going to find a friend who's not a follower of Christ who's trying to tell you everything the world says. You find it from the motivation that comes from Christ. And then the next thing is you have to actually say the words. And sometimes that's the hardest. I believe that the three most powerful words in the world are, I love you. Church family, I want to tell you this morning, I love you. But I believe that the three most restorative words are, I forgive you. And the funny thing about this is when you say those words, I forgive you, not only do you have this weight that's lifted off of your shoulders, but usually there's been this invisible barrier between you and that person that all of a sudden begins to dissolve. And you have freedom in that relationship again. Because God wants you to have freedom in that relationship. That's what He said in His Word. But sometimes it's just like these barriers. It's such a barrier to get over in saying those words. It's a hurdle that's just so big. So I want you to practice it with me, okay? I want you to say it out loud with me. I forgive you. Ready? I forgive you. Let's say it again. I forgive you. It seems so simple, but sometimes that's so hard. Now, let me give you a quick word of caution. If you've been harboring hurt for a really long time, and that hurt goes really deep, chances are you're going to have to voice this phrase more than once. And you're going to have to say it again over the next few days and weeks and months. And for so many people, you need to say these words again and again and again. It's kind of like clenching your fist. And when you clench your fist so tight and you hold it there for a long time, when you begin to open it up, you're going to have to work your fingers again and again to kind of stretch that out a little bit. Go ahead, do that. Clench your fist up. I'm a visual learner, so this is it. Clench it tight and hold it. It's as tight as you can get it. Now begin to let it go. Don't you just naturally want to work your hand a couple of times just to kind of let that out? It's the same way with the words. You have to say, I forgive you. And you may have to do it more than once. And a part of this forgiveness is trust. Listen closely. Forgiveness must be granted. It can't be something. Tweet that. Forgiveness must be granted. It can't be earned. You have to make a choice to voice those words. Because the opposite is true with trust. Trust can't be granted. It must be earned. You want to restore a relationship in your family? You have to set up a system in which you can prove yourself that change has happened. I think we've seen that illustrated very well this week. Our good friend Tiger Woods came and made a press conference and made an apology to the world for some of his actions. Quote that I want to share with you. He said this on Friday. He said his wife pointed this out to him. He said, "My apology to her will not come in the form of words. It will come from behavior over time." That's powerful. If you've broken a trust somewhere, it's going to take some time. It's going to take a trust being rebuilt. Because forgiveness must be granted. It can't be earned. But trust can't be granted. It must be earned. Church family, do you get this? This is the experience of good family members. They forgive. And often people can forgive. It's different how all of this process works together. So great family members forgive. And great family members get the next thing. How does a family member get forgiven? Well, as over 1,000 years ago, he looked down at all those people that were crucifying him there, and he said something that blows my mind. He says, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." Get that. That's a picture of forgiveness. I don't understand, but it's powerful. He looked up at heaven and he said this word, and the Greek word is tetelestai. I'm sure I butchered that for you Greek scholars, and I'm sorry. But you know what? It means paid in full. If a Greek merchant writes tetelestai on a piece of paper at the bottom of your bill, that means your debt is gone. It's forgiven. Just like the king in that parable, initially that servant, he said, paid in full. Your debt is gone. And so family members get forgiven by accepting what Christ has done for them in their life. Getting forgiven. Jesus made that for us on the cross. But you have to receive it. And perhaps this morning, I don't know where you're at, you can't forgive somebody because you've never done that. It's an easy step. It's as easy as receiving a free gift, because that's exactly what it is. You like getting gifts? You do. Get the gift of salvation from Christ. It's simply this, and maybe you just want to pray this right where you are. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. And I invite you to be Savior and Lord of my life. I trust in what you did for me on the cross. Forgive me for the things where I've done wrong. And I want you to lead me now in the ways that are right. I want a restored relationship with you. If you prayed that prayer, your sins are now forgiven. Tetelestai, paid in full. They're removed from your spiritual ledger. They're not there anymore. Psalm 103 says that as far as the east is from the west, so has your transgressions been removed. When do east and west meet? Never. It doesn't matter where you go on this planet. East is always going to be the furthest opposite of west. And God says, you know what? One can be from the other. That's good news, church. These three tenets. Great family members forgive. Great family members get forgiven. And finally, great family members forgive themselves. Great family members forgive themselves. How do family members forgive themselves? This is probably the hardest one for me. I'll be real with you for a minute. When he and I were, we made some poor choices. Choices that led us into areas of our life that we shouldn't have been in. But God's grace is sufficient. He's blessed us with two great kids. But that process, I had trouble forgiving myself. We went to our church family. We were in a place of leadership, and we asked their forgiveness. And they embraced us with love and forgiveness. We went to our own families, and we asked for forgiveness, and they embraced us with love and forgiveness. We went to each other and asked for forgiveness. We went to God and asked for forgiveness and reconciliation. And His love and His grace embraced us and forgave us. However, forgiving myself was a different story. For months and months, I carried this heavy burden of guilt. I was so downtrodden in my spirit. I was sick spiritually, emotionally, physically, mentally. I was sick. And one day, God finally helped me see something in Scripture in a way I'd never seen before. And I was able to forgive and then press on in what He'd called me to do. And I want to share that with you today very quickly and help you unpack that. And that's in Philippians 3. It's a verse you're probably really familiar with, but I want you to think about this related to forgiveness. Philippians 3, 13. If you don't have it, you can listen very closely or it's on the screen. One thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on to the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Nobody's hooping and hollering over that verse yet. How many things was Paul trying to do here? Just one. Do one thing. Forget what was behind and strain toward what was ahead. This week I was watching the Olympics and watching the snowboarding competition. I really enjoyed watching some of those things. And I was watching these snowboarders in a race down the hill. And the guy who was almost in the lead turned just slightly to look at some of the boarders back behind him to see where his competition was because they were coming up on a curve. And immediately he began to lose balance a little bit. He began to slide. He fell and began to tumble, and he finished the last in his heat. And I thought, isn't that same way with anything? You look behind, and that's rarely a good thing. The only time you want to look back is when you can deal with the past. If there's something that you haven't done that has wronged somebody or needs reconciliation, you need to get that. Once you've done that, forget the past. Strain to the future and press on to the prizes God has for you. That's what Paul was saying. Finish well. Don't look back. 1 John 1, 8 and 9 says, if we claim to be without sin, truth is not in us. Our sins, He is faithful and will forgive us of our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Everyone sins. There's not a person in this room that can say they're without sin. And if we confess our sins, guess what? They're purified, paid in full. But we have to receive Christ's forgiveness. You have to confess what's wrong and let it go. God, let it go. Why hold on to it if Jesus has already got it? Doesn't make sense to me. And it's just like that process before. You have to get the motivation to do it, and you have to say the words, and you may have to say it again and again and again. I forgive myself. Say that one with me. I forgive myself. I forgive myself. Say it like you mean it. I forgive myself. Do you? Then it's behind you permanently. Don't look back. Great family members forgive. Great family members get forgiven. And family members forgive themselves. I know this is hard to get a handle on. I do. But I just know what God's Word says. And I know that God desires for your relationships with your family to be ones that honor Him. In order for that to happen, you have to understand what this means about forgiveness. It's good stuff. It's hard because hurt hurts. But it's good stuff. And this morning, I'd like to ask you just to think where you are in this process. We have an Maybe it was as last week, or maybe it was last month, or last year, or years ago, but you're still holding on to it. You're gripping it so tight. Maybe it's you that hurt somebody. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's a church family member. Maybe somebody else is not even here. I don't know. Only God knows your heart this morning. But I believe He wants forgiveness and healing to take place today. We have an example in Scripture of a king who loved his servant. And we also have an example there of a servant who didn't want to give that heart pardon. God wants us to restore our relationship with Him. And the first step of that is forgiveness. Even with other people. What about that person who's hurt you? Right now, I know the gears are turning. Right now, I know that there is a flood of just emotion and things for some of you that have been pushed down for a long time. But think about that person who's hurt you and wronged you. This morning, I'm asking, as a part of your family, will you give that over to God? Will you give them the forgiveness from your heart, whether they ask for it or not? In your worship guide, you'll find the little paper that Pastor Billy talked about just a minute ago. It has a cross on it. I want you to pull that out. Find a pen. I'm going to ask you to do a physical symbol of your heart. I want you to write down on that cross what you're having a hard time forgiving. Yourself, others. And as a commitment and as a symbol of giving that to the Lord, I want you to write it on that cross. Write it on that cross. And then move forward with forgiveness. And in just a minute, after I give you a couple minutes to think through that and process through that and write that down, I'm going to ask that during our response time, you come and you just lay it right here on the front. And say, God, as a symbol, I'm giving it to you. It's not mine to harbor anymore. It's yours. Record the charges that have been against yourself. Record the charges on that cross of what you have against others. Put it on the cross. Jesus did. Let Him take it and put it as far as the east is from the west. God has great things ahead of you, for you and your family, if you'll put the past behind you. And I really believe that this morning can be a first step for some of you guys and your families. When you put the past behind, you're done, and now you're going to strain for what's ahead and push forward. I believe our families are going to be stronger when we practice forgiveness. While you're allowing God just to kind of speak to you of what to write down on that cross, and you take just a couple minutes to do that, I'm going to ask you just to watch a real short but powerful video on forgiveness, and particularly the forgiveness of a this morning we're going to have a time that is just for you to be obedient. There's nothing magical about the time or coming to the front, but we want to give you a chance to be obedient. The front's going to be open. I'm going to pray for you. But after I pray, I just invite you to come and lay your records you put on that cross on the front. Feel free to go to somebody this morning, maybe that you need to go give forgiveness to. Take this time and do that. Come as a family and pray together and receive that forgiveness together. Pastor Billy and myself will be down here to be able to pray with you. Whatever God's laid on your heart, we ask you to simply be obedient this morning. I want to pray for you. Father God, we love you. We thank you just for being, Father, that God that loves us in return. Even though we didn't deserve it, but you gave us forgiveness. Holy God, I ask that you would do something only you can do this morning. Lord, the families and the individuals that are here that have just got so much hurt in their life, this morning they can turn that over to you. Father, that every piece of bitterness and anger and resentment can be just surrendered to you. God, be honored this morning in our time. We love you, and we pray these things in your holy and precious name.